Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back. It is Tuesday, January the 11th, 2022. It's also 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here in Spotswood, Virginia, and I am delighted to be with you this morning. I hope that everybody had a good Monday and a good start to their work week, and that things are just moving along well. I would caution you out there, y'all. I'm sure you know about this. Be careful in what you're doing. The rise of COVID, I had a talk with my doctor yesterday. It's incredible here in our little community just how much COVID is on the rise. So make wise decisions out there. Where we find ourselves this morning as we are continuing through with our study on the book of James is that yesterday we found yet another counterintuitive teaching. This whole business of the brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, whereas the one who is rich should take pride in his low position. That, of course, is counterintuitive because everything in the world around you tells you that the more money you have, the better you are, right? Now, they don't say it that way, and certainly there's a lot of envy going on out there, but look at the content of popular music, look at what happens on television, look at the basic sentiment and philosophy of the world out there. So much is about money. And realize that that is not unique to our generation, right? That's always been how it is. There's a reason that Jesus spent so much time talking about money. Yeah, what we saw yesterday is that James really reverses the order on things, and not just James, because this is God breathing out his word through James. But the order is reversed here. And instead of saying that the rich person is the one that's really well off, it instead the one in humble circumstances is. Why? Because what James is doing here is he's pointing to the dangers of worldliness. Yesterday we read from Matthew 6, Jesus' exhortation, Jesus' command to not store up for yourself treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy, but instead to store up for yourself treasures in heaven where there is no moth or rust. And then you see Jesus say something very poignant. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, James is warning us here of the dangers of worldliness, of adopting the world's philosophies, of proceeding forward into life with the priorities that the world has around you. Instead, we are called to trust the Lord. And to that end, where we pick up today, it's going to be in verse 12 of James chapter 1, and we'll see an encouragement, but also some very important teaching today. So let's pray, and we'll go to God's Word. Our Father, we thank you for this time that you have given to us. We thank you for the gift of your Word, wherein you reveal yourself to us and what it is to know you and to please you. But also, Father, in such a practical sense, you've revealed the pathway to a full and complete life. And so often what we find in your word is that what the world prioritizes as number one, or what the world tells us to do, is the opposite of what you tell us. And Father, we know that your way is best. So please, guide us in this time. Help us to see the truth of your word, yes, but to understand how it applies to us. And please, by your Holy Spirit, work in our hearts right now. For without your Holy Spirit, this is impossible for us to understand. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your love and for your mercy. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so where we pick up today is in verse 12, okay? After all of these teachings, after all of these exhortations, and again, if you're just now tuning in to us, go back, starting last Monday, a week ago yesterday, where we started the book of James, and you see all sorts of teachings about how to pray, about asking God for wisdom, about considering trials as pure joy because they develop perseverance, right? And when perseverance finishes its work, you'll be mature and complete, lacking nothing. But now, as we come to verse 12, we see the ultimate reward of perseverance, which, by the way, perseverance is the command given here to trust God, to obey God. And what is the ultimate reward of this? Verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. By the way, the woman here is fine too, right? right? This applies to both men and women. But blessed is the man, blessed is the one, we'll say that, who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And therein, my friends, pausing right there for just a second, we see the real core of the command that is given here. And that is to stick to it, to obey, to trust the Lord. But we see here how we are to stick to it and to obey and to trust the Lord. And it is ultimately to love God. You want to know how to stand up to the trials that you face in life? You want to know how you deal with temptations? Quite simply, by loving the Lord. And y'all, this is not a new concept. You know, Jesus talked about this, but Jesus was citing Deuteronomy. Remember the book of Deuteronomy, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? It's part of the Pentateuch. Those first five books of the Old Testament, wherein the story of God's redemptive power and his people's lives come into play. But also, it's as we read about that story of redemption that we see God's character. That we see how our relationship as one of God's people, or how our relationship with God as one of his people is supposed to work. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is so important, right? It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy is given to God's people as they are about to enter into the promised land, okay? Moses said in Deuteronomy 6, these are the commands, decrees, and laws that Jehovah your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Again, this is Deuteronomy 6:1. And Moses tells him, all right, this is not mine. The Lord has given this to me and has told me to teach this to you. Moses was a prophet after all. All right, so this is not just Moses' opinion, and furthermore, this is God breathing this out through Moses, just like the rest of his world, of his word. And so Moses says, I was told to teach this to you. Why? Verse 2, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear Jehovah your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. In other words, Moses says, hey, I'm teaching you these things because the Lord gave them to me to teach you so that you will remember them. So that as you enter the land, as you proceed through life, you will know the commands of the Lord and you will prosper as a result of obeying them. Didn't say everything would be easy. Never promised that. But instead, long life is promised. Goodness of life is promised when you trust in the Lord. And this is it. Hear, O Israel, verse 3, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you. Y'all, something is revealed here. Same thing is revealed here in Deuteronomy 6 that is being revealed here in James chapter 1. And it's that very simple teaching. That when you follow God's plan for your life, namely, when you do what he has commanded you to do, it will go well with you. Guys, the commands that God has given to us, do you realize this? And I talk about this all the time, and you probably know what I'm about to say. But the commands that God gives us in his word, none of them are arbitrary. None of them are random. He doesn't just pick them out of thin air and say, oh, well, let's see, what are they doing down there? Murder. Okay, well, I'm going to tell them they can't murder each other anymore. No. The commands that God gives us flow out of who he is. God tells us to do what he tells us to do because it is pleasing to him that we live by following what he has commanded. And his commands flow out of his character. It all comes down to this principle of God saying, be holy because I am holy. And holiness is not just being faultless. Holiness is being whole and being complete. And it's when we follow God's commands, when we strive to pursue him, not because we've got to, but because we get to. It's when we do these things that life goes well with us. Not always in the way that the world tells us, though. You know, the worldly idea of life going well with you is to be happy, healthy, well-fed, independently wealthy, all these different things. That is not life going well according to the scripture. Instead, life going well according to the scripture is trusting in the Lord and having the assurance of his presence with you at all times. And guys, the way that you do that is through trusting him, through following him. Besides, there's a very practical component to what God has told us to do. Yeah, James is talking about here in verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. The trial that he's referring to is when we are tempted to not do what God has told us to do. But guys, when you follow God's word, when you do what he's told you to do, oh my goodness, life is so much better. You know, think about just the Ten Commandments. How much more better is life, or how much better would life be if you didn't covet? Right? If you didn't see things and you thought, oh man, I wish I had that. But instead, we're content. You know, how much more simple is life when you're not a liar? When you're not worried about what story you told to what person? When you're not worried about getting fired at your job because you lied about what you've done? Let's up the ante a little bit. If you're a thief, if you're an adulterer, if you are a murderer, if you're not worried about getting caught for these things that you've done, life is complete. Life is full. And again, the whole point of what James has been saying thus far is when you trust the Lord, you'll never be disappointed. Guys, that is borne out in Moses' command. And forget about Moses. Through God's command in Moses for them to do these very things. Again, verse 3 of Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey. Thus does the Lord, the God of your fathers, promise you. And then here it is. And if James has been telling us to persevere, in verse 12 he tells us that when we persevere, we receive the crown of life. It's in verse 12 when he tells us that because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to who? To those who love him. As I've already said, the key to doing what James has said here is not following some checklist. The key is loving God. And if you want that affirmed, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, nothing new here. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God, Jehovah is one. Love Jehovah your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. Guys, the key to what Moses has told the people of ancient Israel is the same key to what James has told you and me, part of these 12 tribes scattered throughout. If you're going to follow God, it's not going to be out of legalism, out of fear, out of a checklist. Guys, the only way to really follow God is to love him. That's my question for you today. I plan to get further than this, but I think that we're at such a point where we can stop. It's not bad to have a short devotional. Why do you do what you do? Really, when it comes down to it. As you seek to follow God, is it out of fear of hell? Sometimes that's valid. I'm not discounting that. Sometimes a healthy fear of the Lord is a very valid and good and important thing to have. Sometimes it's okay to do what we do because we fear the consequences of not doing it. I'm not negating any of that stuff, but ultimately, what is the basis of your relationship with the Lord? Do you do what you do because that's what you were just raised to do? I'm not negating that either. That's very important. My question is this, do you really love the Lord? Before you say, oh, yeah, I love God. Really? Oh, that's a long time ago, and I've cited this in a sermon before. When I was examined to become a minister, I had to go before a big group of pastors and elders. It's called the Presbytery. Nevertheless, long story short, one gentleman rose and said, when you say you love God, well, what do you love? And I went to the catechism, you know, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and that sort of thing. And that wasn't what he was getting at. And I stumbled along, and nobody else understood what he was asking either. So we just kind of moved on from there. He took me to lunch a few weeks later, and he said, when you say you love God, what do you love? And he said, well, what is God? And I went to, and he said, not the textbook answer. What is God? I said, well, God is love. God is just. God is merciful. And then the light bulb came off in my head and I said, oh, now I get it. When you say you love God, you're saying you love justice. When you say you love God, you're saying you love to love. When you say you love God, you're saying that you love peace, that you love kindness, that you love mercy, that you love grace. And what he was driving at is that when you say you love God, you really need to examine your life. Because you can't say you love God on the one hand and then turn around and not follow any of his commandments. Because if you love God, you will love the things of God. And that will be reflected in your life. What James is saying here is that the key to persevering under trial is to love God, to love his commands, to love who he is. What Moses is saying here to the Israelites is, look, as you move forward, as you take possession of this land that the Lord has promised you, the only way you will remain true to him is not out of fear, it's not out of a legal sense, it's if you love him. My friends, I don't know what you're facing. Again, I keep saying that. I really don't. But the key to what you're facing is loving the Lord. Because it's only in loving God that you take him at his word, that you really trust him. So take this opportunity today to focus on whether or not you love the Lord. And take the time today to focus on what the Lord has done for you. Oh my goodness, he is worthy of all of your love and praise and honor and glory. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time that you have given to us this morning and for the clear teaching that we are to love you. And as we think about the degree to which we love you, help us also to remember the degree to which you loved us. That is, you sent your one and only Son to die for us. Father, we can never return your love in terms of greatness. We are far more loved than we will ever love. Yet even so, Father, work in our hearts. Help us to see your grace and your goodness. Help us to love you and to follow you and to trust you out of love. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you all for being a part of this day or this time. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. I see that we have had Monica. Good morning. And then there's Becky and Mary Ann, and then the other Becky, and then there's Rose and Mike and Evelyn. Thank you all so much for being a part of this time and those that didn't comment as well. Again, Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 7. Until then, I hope you all have a wonderful Tuesday.